Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. We're live. Let's see.
Put your phone on silent.
It is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. See how many technical difficulties we can start out with today. Welcome to Shasta Live, Shasta County Live. Chamber.
Yes, sir.
Jason, are you live?
Yes.
Get close to your mic.
There you go.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear myself, though.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Are we good?
We can hear you.
Hey, I can. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mikey, there you
go. There you go.
Now my ear.
Nigel, James, Jason,
yeah.
Shasta County Chamber, how's it going?
96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
Yeah.
It's Monday and it's cold.
Having a great time.
Right? Hey, this is officially the last show of the year.
This is it.
Right?
This is it.
The New Year's Bash.
Big plans for next year.
That's big plans.
Big guess.
Yeah.
Big
plans. So let's get back and punt the ball.
The plans are so big they won't even fit in 1 year.
I have to go on the year after next.
That's right.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us. I think we're up to about 120 members or something. And we have some here in the...
Very, very organic, though.
Very organic.
2025 is a big year for reaching out.
Well, this
now
is organic in more ways than one.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as building our base...
Right
now, we've let people come to us, and that's working. And now we're going to go out after them.
But we've had some really good people come.
No, yeah, I mean we've got some great people.
Yeah,
it's been a very
top shelf.
It's been a very colorful year.
Yeah.
one of the things I like about it, obviously, is that we get to meet new people
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Consistently.
We have a very diverse
personalities
within Shasta County.
Yeah, within Shasta County. Every time we see James, we get a different person.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You just don't know me as
Sybil. Don't mute that, Mikey. Don't mute that. Okay, that's all good.
You don't know my nickname is Sybil. I've got 45 word personality.
So in the studio today, we have what? Staples of the community of North State, Northern California, staples of something. And I can tell we're gonna have to.
You know what? This is gonna have to be a little bit country. We're gonna have to wrangle you and pull you to the microphone.
Otherwise, the world can't hear you.
The question is arguably
one of
the pillars.
One of the pillars.
We won't go community. We'll stick with Dry Creek Road for now.
Okay,
Dry Creek.
There you go.
That's the cutoff right there.
So, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Well, my name is Kenny Elwood of the Elwood Ranch. My wife here is Megan.
And she's not going to even say hi.
Well, she hit the mute button.
What is that? I'm Megan Elwood with Elwood Ranch.
Elwood Ranch.
Bear with us, folks. We just need to
We're newbies.
Massage her into it.
Have you guys you guys have not been on the radio before?
Never.
Really?
This is the first time? This is the first rodeo.
Newbies.
Yeah.
Newbies to the radio.
Welcome.
It's easy breezy, right?
All right, so Elwood Ranch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a ranch. I would assume.
It's a ranch. It's a farm.
Jason, you're right. Just showed up. Elwood Ranch. Tell us what you do.
Well, we've been in the community since 1875.
1875.
So,
oh, that's a stretch.
Our family's been doing this for a long time, and... conventionally, you know, we always did our strawberries and we did our cattle and sold it to conventional ways. And, you know, every year we look around, we got less neighbors.
Because you kept expanding or they kept leaving?
You know, it's tough with the regulations. It's tough with the expense. It's tough to do business in California.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm at the point, like, what are we going to go? What are we going to do? So this is one of the only things that I could think of to actually keep the Elwood Ranch going is farm-to-table and agritourism and try to provide something more to the community to bring more people in. But it's going to be tough for ag producers in California to stay here.
He's swaying in the wind. He's going with the flow. Okay, so you don't look like you've been around since 1875. I mean, if you have, I mean, whatever you're taking, I want it. You know? So, has this been in your family?
About five generations.
Five generations.
Yeah. That have literally, I mean, and it started here, or this area, that long.
Out there in Dry Creek Road.
Gosh, so did they come in by cover wagon?
Well, they had to.
All right. So, I mean, I'm joking, but realistically, that's true.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But it's kind of rough ground where Elwood Ranch is.
Yeah. It's in Lassen area, isn't it?
No, it's out in Bella Vista.
Oh, is
it's
it? Bella?
A lot of rock.
Same, I was going to say. All that whole area seems like a blast area, right?
Right.
I mean, from about there up to the mountain, it's just acres and acres of, you know, talk about too bad you... I mean, some people make a lot of money by the rock. I see them clear them, and then they stack them, and then they bring them down to the Bay Area in L.A., and they use them for landscaping, and they make good money. But, oh, man, talk about break back.
They do that with all our resources.
I never, right? That's true. I didn't think about that, yeah.
Okay, so you're doing cattle,
strawberries,
and goats.
Yes.
Right?
The goats.
And you handle the goats mostly?
Yes, the goats are
yours.
Yeah,
I saw the goats.
How many goats?
We have about 1,000 right now.
Oh, ooh. That's not bad. That's
specific.
That's not too shabby.
A single breed of or multiple breeds?
They're mostly boar goats, but we do use other breeds for things like recipients for doing embryo transfers and...
Embryo transfers.
Mm-hmm. Things like that.
You know, okay. You like to do those, don't you?
Yeah, see, because there's a lot going on.
Here we go. We're going to start cutting.
Well, no, I mean, there's a lot going on here. And,
there's
and,
a lot.
And you
on.
Two actually typify, in my opinion, you know, you take for granted what you do, right? So we need to go back to, like, first grade level. So you have cattle, strawberries, and goats. Did you start out with all three, or did you start out with... one over the other?
Cattle,
I would cattle. Think, yeah.
Strawberries was handed down from my father. So.
Yeah.
And he bought that in what year?
Oh, he bought it out in 1982, but that company's been around since the early 1950s of Lassen Canyon, so it's got quite the history.
And where are those, where the strawberries that you grow, where are they mostly sold to? Are the strawberries actually picked and sold, or is it plant stock?
We just do the planting
stuff. Okay, yeah, okay.
Our biggest ranch is in McDowell.
Okay.
And we have some in Shastina where the Elwood Ranch has some of its cattle
okay.
up there. And we have some in Manteca, which we will be harvesting next week. That'll be our planting stock and planting stock
okay.
for 56 other countries all over the
wow.
world.
Planting. I know Manteca. I grew up a little bit in Visalia, California. That's that whole
oh, okay.
sloth of land that goes between us and SoCal. That's the, you know, breadbasket of the world. So
and the home of the Vintage Press.
Oh yeah.
So I'm getting
work there.
I'm getting a picture here. So we have so far we have 1,000 goats, and we have how many acres of strawberries?
Oh, we have about. About 850 acres in production
okay.
a year.
And
that's
cattle?
Head.
How many?
Head.
That's it?
This year we bred 930 head.
So almost 1,000. So we almost have 1,000 cows.
We got part of that film in there on that when they were doing that, right? That's mm-hmm.
yep.
part of that. That was fun, by the way.
Yeah.
So that was an experience.
You guys have your own bulls, or do you bring in a bull specifically like to rotate? Genetics, that kind of stuff?
So we do the embryo transfer with the cattle as well. So we'll take our best
James
Angus
is looking for work. That's
yeah.
why he's...
James, he's an employee.
Yeah, let me loose.
And then we AI every cow that doesn't get an embryo. And then we'll use our own bulls to clean up those
okay.
cows. So we get a more consistent calf crop because we're able to use a more specific sire base that way.
And what is the breed?
Angus.
Oh, you do Angus. So
and then the commercial cattle do have some Hereford influence.
Okay. So you wow. guys are a serious... This isn't like, you know, podunk farmers where you just have, you know, let the girls in and let the bulls at them. I mean, embryo transfer is a lot of work.
Well, our cowboys have done a great job syncing our cows up, and Will tries to make the cows calve in a 45-day window.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
If they don't make that 45 days, they're...
And where, wow. so now I'm curious because I'm a tech person. So where is the facility that's doing the embryonic development to, like, get them to the first phase before you implant them?
So Transova Genetics has a lab in Turlock. They set up a facility at the Harrison's house in Montague, California. So they come every 2 weeks and they harvest the ovocytes, and then they take them down to Turlock where they'll be processed and frozen, and they'll bring them back up frozen and plant them in the cows for us.
So at what age do they typically, development-wise, are they a month in?
No,
very
it's
early?
Yeah, so there'll be a 7-day embryo when they transfer them.
Okay, well, let's take our first little break here so we can
Geek it out.
So far we're up to 1,000 goats, almost 1,000 head of cattle, and 800-plus acres of strawberries. So
these are just spokes in the wheel. We need to get to the real issue.
We're
going to
get to the real issue.
We've got a lot of
coming
stuff
up.
Going on.
See you in 2 minutes. Bye.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Here we go. We're back on.
So I think we're going to have to get Kenny a lapel mic.
Yeah.
He's a mover and a shaker.
He's a mover and shaker.
Can we get Kenny a lapel mic?
Yeah, we'll get him. We'll get a mobile mic.
He doesn't seem to be
able
to exercise. He doesn't seem to be able to stand still. Good evening, Shasta Live.
Yeah, here we go.
We have the Elwood Clan in the studio.
goats, cows, and
strawberries.
Yeah. So you could. Do you have chickens too?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say.
I was going to say you. So you have a fully sustainable. Food circle, shall we say?
You could put lots of strawberry jam on goat meat.
So tell us about the cattle, the DNA stuff from square one.
Now we're going to get the juicy stuff.
Before we get into this, let me just ask: Are you is this pretty common these days? What you guys do as far as with science and your animals? Or are you kind of
cutting edge?
Well, I mean, are you ahead of the curve a little bit? I mean, like, I just don't know. Because, I mean, I've grown up on cattle ranches, right? Mm-hmm. And very basic in the sense of what you do. I know of the technology. I mean, we used to have a plane and we would fly. Our bulls were prized. And so we would do semen collection and then freeze it and put it on our plane. And then we'd fly to locations and, you know, give vials but that's where we were at when I was younger in that stage. Things have come a long way from just that.
So what do you guys do?
So I think for the first question, everyone is starting to utilize embryo transfer and things like that, and the EPDs are pretty common, and people are starting to look at that. Now, the genetic testing that we're adding is a newer thing to do with commercial cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's giving us a similar thing to the EPD, so we can look at our cattle and decide what we need to do to better them to go forward. And we're making our own requirements to use to look at the cattle and decide what bulls we're going to choose next. And we're always trying to be bettering the game and staying on top of
everything. So what's the criteria? When you say betterment, like, is it like consistency meat? What are the criteria that you're looking for? That's in Elwood.
We want to make, you know, great beef to sell to people, but we also want a cow that's going to be a good mother, milk well but not have an extremely high need for extra feed and things like that. So you have to balance your growth and your milk, your maternal traits and your carcass traits to find the ideal cow to work in our farm and our environment.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So that's all trackable now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and they can even,
and you can see
with
genes
the genomics, they're trying to tell us things like the ideal days on feed for the cattle that we're producing.
And you can see, and you can see defective genes, right? That is a trait that that you want to not have. Then it allows you to selectively pull that mother or baby out because it could pass it along. And
our
cattle
need to be able to travel. For instance, when we turn them out on our winter pasture, you know they're going to be in the hills in Bella Vista or Igo or Ono on the ranches, and we need to pay attention to things like feet and structure and. Mm-hmm. Not have things that need to stand at a bunk their whole life.
Yeah.
Now, our area, and when I say our area, let's just say our entire Northern California, I would say part of Southern Oregon. I mean, it's always been like a haven for agriculture, right?
Mm-hmm.
For this kind of industry. Is that still the case?
I think a lot of producers that are able to move away are moving out of the area. We know a lot of people that have moved places like Nebraska and Oklahoma because it's cheaper to do what we're doing. But because of the strawberries, we're in a situation where there's only one place in the world to do what we're doing at the level we're doing it at. So we need to be close to McDole.
So the strawberries are saving the bacon?
Yeah.
Bacon's here.
And for now.
For now. For now.
Dun, 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 it's just a spoke in the wheel.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to talk on the other side. My wife does the cattle and the making, but on the other side, with the DNA map, you know, I have a map of my cattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to guess. You know, my sire, my. I guess it wouldn't be dams.
Yeah.
What's that? Are you?
He's trying to tell you to get close to the mic. Are you having a heart attack?
Mike. Either that or I farted. But.
He's like, he's going to come put a head brace on you.
I'd like to use my roadmap to say, well, maybe we can get a higher protein beef. Maybe we can get a lesser cholesterol. Maybe we can get a more environmentally friendly product out there to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, you know, why have technology make our food? Let's let technology make our food better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of our concept
I'm... I'm a proponent of using technology and science to make things better, in my opinion, like, you know, right now through selective breeding. Selective breeding is one of those things that it's not the same as genetically modified, right? All you're doing is just looking at genes and you're saying, this gene is a great gene for, you know, for beef production as far as on the bone, right, where they're growing. I mean, you've seen that, like, some of those beef cattle in Europe that they've bred to be, I mean, they look like Godzilla, you know, it's like meat on meat on meat, but that's, you know, that's a genetic thing, that's a mutation that you can then pass along and do those things. I'm still very scared a little bit of, like, you know, CRISPR, where they're going in and they're cutting genes out from one animal and putting another one in from another animal. Now you're making these, you know.
I can solve your problem.
Huh. Yeah.
Buy local.
Yeah,
right. Know where your food comes from.
That's the next segment.
I think you just pushed one of the chamber buttons. That's one of the things that we talked about. Yeah.
Well, know, obviously the world changed in 2020 and 2021, right? So when you start talking about DNA, you know, beef and artificial this, artificial that, for many, that whole vaccine word comes into play, like, and we've been hearing about, you know, the requirements of wanting to vaccinate the cows more than before, and also, you know, certain people have been talking about getting our vaccines into the food supply, right?
Yeah.
So that when you eat,
that's how they're going to get you.
How they're going to get you?
Have a nice steak, and then now you have the.
So how does that stand? How does it stand with?
Would it make you feel better if they did it with a carrot?
Well, I don't eat carrots. I don't eat carrots. So yeah, good.
Broccoli.
So are you hearing that? You know, how does it stand with the number of vaccines or the type of vaccines that you're supposed to put in your cattle at this point?
We follow a recommendation from our vet that helps us keep the cattle healthy, so we have to, you know, do those things when they're pregnant before they get bred, but then doing those things also makes it so our calves stay healthier. They're less likely to have pneumonia, so we give less shots as the calf is maturing because we're doing more in the beginning.
Well, more preventative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like our bodies. You know, the more preventative health stuff you do, the better healthier you'll be later. You know, no farmer or no rancher wants to over-medicate their animals. You know, if they need it, they need it. If they don't, you know, they don't. And mm-hmm. hopefully you can make them all healthier just by a preventative care program.
Yeah, true.
Awesome.
Their environment. A lot of that to do with it, too, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, that's why we move them to different locations in the summer and winter, just for comfort.
Well, I was actually kind of surprised because the other day I saw you guys bring some cows from up there down to Bella Vista in those semi-trucks with the cattle semi. And like I was telling these guys, I was surprised at how many freaking cow fits in one of those trucks. You know, because, you know, start adding them up, right? So I always thought.
I think it's 40,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cows in one of those semis. I was like,
and cows, I mean, from my experience, I mean, they're mostly healthy, but even with a small, you know, ranch that we've had, man, cows have all kinds of problems. They get sick and weird things all the time, I feel like. It's like, you know, pink eye this and, you know, bloating that and, you know, the baby stuck. And, I mean, it just seems like you're doing something with them all the time. And I'm like, can't you just go out and eat grass and, like, just be fine?
So you guys are really, on your business model, it's really focused on B2B. Is it with your cattle, your beef, or is it B2C, business to consumer?
So we had been mostly a calf operation and selling our calves every year to a feedlot, and they would go somewhere else. So this year is really the first year we focused on trying to do farm to table and taking the calf all the way through and selling beef.
So where do you take your beef to be processed? Do you have?
So currently we're using Marble Mountain Meats in Aetna.
In Aetna.
Okay. It's a USDA inspected facility, so that way we have the ability to sell to restaurants or online
or
anything like that.
Is that the new facility that's up there?
It's.
I'm trying to think.
It's not the newest facility.
I was going to say, didn't like Five Marys or somebody like that?
Yeah,
didn't
Five
they
Marys has their own.
Just did a new one, and that was like the first approved facility in like 50 or 70 years, I heard, in the U.S.
There was also the one that was Nexus Beef that.
It doesn't matter. I just was curious because it's new for you to have it to go. So you need a processor.
How much beef have you produced this year?
So we sold calves, and we kept back 25 for ourselves in the feedlot. So we've been processing about one a week for the last probably 10 weeks now, and we're on track to keep doing that the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And you have your own butcher at the homestead?
Nope, we just USDA inspected.
Okay.
Yep.
I was going to say for your personal stuff. I didn't know if somebody was a great butcher. I've always wanted to do that. Is learn butchering. It's an amazing art.
I took classes on it in college and I loved it. I just don't love the smell that you bring with you after. So
you need to put a nice little bit of Vicks under your nose or something.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, let's take our 2 minute break and let's get back. When we come back, we'll talk about the local. Mm-hmm.
Local.
Where to buy it, what you want to do, what the goals are. I'll take it from there. Okay. Be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is your song, James. Come on.
Yeah. Anything with a little funk, a little stank on it, you know, I'm all down.
Welcome back.
Let's get ready to barbecue.
Goat.
Goat, chicken.
Goat.
So, Shasta Live, we're back with the Elwoods. I have a feeling we're not doing this very much justice because I think we're just scratching the surface of what these two actually are doing.
Oh, yeah, there's
doing.
A lot going on here.
They're holding back. You can see it.
You can see it in their eyes.
They give the stinky, dirty look out of the sunlight. Yeah, keep it quiet. Know.
We got the deal.
Shut that one down.
Well, I mean.
Patent pending.
Patent pending. No, what I mean is when you're an industry that's been here since 1875, obviously that's a lot of track record, right?
Mm-hmm.
is this something that you've always wanted to do and it just became a natural progression?
Well, it came down to, are we going to survive in this state? Hmm. You know, we need to do something different because we're not going to make it with the high cost of...
But I mean, as a kid, did you always want to be a rancher?
Well, yeah, that's what we were told to do.
So, yeah, you wanted to do what you were told.
You mean there was a choice?
That's old school.
You're going to get out there and castrate.
Yeah.
My dad says, you were born to do this, so don't be looking around.
Yeah. And literally, they meant that. Like you know, your dad probably looked at your mom and said, I need another helping hand. Let's get to it. Yeah. And then, boy, get out there and
James,
work.
You worked with cows. Did you ever castrate? Before?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay.
So yes, that too. Branded, gave vaccines, all of it.
Oh well, LA Combiotics.
Yeah.
2000.
Okay. Okay. So your business model is changing, kind of. Is that what I'm getting at? So the strawberries are good, but the cattle, the beef. Now you want to go more farm to table.
Well, I think if you're going to survive in this day and age, you've got to always be changing and changing your goals.
That's good. I mean. Yeah. For an organization your size to be able to pivot or add something.
But for now, we're going to go forward until, you know, something else comes along.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we're going to be really focused on the beef industry and the goat industry.
Yeah.
And purebred cows.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing my wife will talk about is our bull sale that we're starting.
Mm.
And... the reason, you know, I think it's important is this is one of my father's dreams, but I'm more on the other side. I want to see where we can go with this product after it's in a package. So it's kind of been good for our family. My wife likes the production part and I love the sales part. Mm. So it's actually been kind of fun.
Yeah, you strike me as one of those sales guys that walks in and,
oh yeah,
you know. There's no point in negotiating, right?
Well, you guys have
buy a drink and talk you into something.
Yeah.
You guys have a big bull sale coming up in January, right? You were saying in January.
The Red Bluff Bull and Gelding sales there. We sell a lot of heifers there and some bulls, which my wife will talk about right now. Give you some dates.
We could get down there and take some.
This is the purebred bulls. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So we had our own bull sale, we had our first annual bull sale this October, and it will be the first October every year, for the first Friday of October every year, hopefully, from now on. And then we have a lot of bulls consigned to the Red Bluff Bull and Gelding Sale, which is January 26th, and we also have 40 heifers that we have mm-hmm. in that sale.
The Red Buff Bull and Gilding sale is huge.
I mean, and it's a lot of fun.
I mean, my brothers are there every year picking up, selling, doing all
So when is this?
It's January 26th in Red Bluff.
We're going to go down and film it, do some film, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You should definitely go video the dogs. It's fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
they do have the Bull and Gilding and puppy sale.
Don't be drinking while you're bidding.
So that was an eye opener for me, the herding dogs, right? Is that
yes.
what they call them?
Yes.
So those things, I mean, they're dogs. They're cute and all. But they get up to...
they're worth their weight in gold.
We met one 2 weeks ago that was $50,000, and then you said the other one was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
It was expensive. It was more than that. But
yeah. But, I mean, seriously, when you look at if they are truly from a line and, you know, they have good genetics and they know what they're doing and they're trained, it's unbelievable what one dog can do for you with that many cattle.
No, I was watching them go to town. I mean, they seemed like they knew.
I mean, you can sit on your horse and just say something and do hand signals, and they'll bring 100 head to you with no problem at all. You know, it's like you're not running around back and forth on your horse trying to chase them down. They just get the job done.
Yeah, he's been a great dog, and Will loves having him as a helper. So.
And it was a great story. My dad had his own full sail jacket, mm-hmm. so I thought this year, well, I'm just going to wear that jacket. So I'm up there, and I'm going through the pockets, and he's got his Red Bluff Bull Sale gloves still there. Receipt to, Pizza John's or something like that. But he had a receipt for his last dog he bought before he died.
Oh, wow.
And the dog that everybody wanted was named Louie, who was my brother that died. So I thought it was fate.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting.
And I was telling your wife at the break or before we started, my father had a herding dog that was very expensive as well, and was the love of his life. And his name was Louie, and he just recently passed away. And it's funny because, I mean, Louie is just one of those names that's like, who's like your dog, my dog, your, you know, brother, all the things, you know, just wild stuff.
Okay, so the farm to table. So where can people here locally in Shasta County buy Elwood beef?
So currently we have Elwood beef available at the farm store downtown on Butte Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. The cute little place.
It's very cute. She's got goat milk soap and all kinds of stuff in there.
Okay. Wow. So you have plans to expand? I mean, is this one of those things where, you know, we'll find you in Holiday Market or something? Or
more?
That's the first question I have.
It depends on where we go. Restaurant-wise, if we'll have the inventory for things like grocery stores, we're going to offer some quarters and halves of beef available in the upcoming weeks for people and just see where it takes us.
I think if you market yourself correctly in that vein, right, where people can actually just, you have a menu of things and, you know, while supplies last kind of a scenario, I think you'll be very successful. I mean, I have done that a lot, and I know there are other companies that do that as well, and it keeps them busy. They don't almost need to go out and find places to put the beef. I mean, it's nice for people to try it or a restaurant to talk about it, but, you know, if people know that you're there, and in this part of the world, as Nigel has mentioned, and as you talked about, knowing who your grower is, who your farmer is, who your rancher is really important to a lot of people. And they do buy a lot of product that way, where they'll buy a whole cow, half cow, quarter cow, whatever, however you've got it mixed, you know. Last year, you tried it. I bought a 400-pound hog from a local guy, right? I had to go buy a new freezer just because there was so much.
That's what we did.
And I gave Nigel some bacon and some ham, and Nigel occasionally will get a dozen eggs from my own chickens in my backyard and stuff. And
last year we bought half a cow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great, you know, for that reason of wanting to know where it came from, right? And then it's that consistency. So are there local restaurants here that are serving your beef?
Right now.
Currently, the only restaurant that's serving our beef is the Shastina Golf Course, which is less than a mile down the street from where our cattle are up there.
Oh, cool.
So
it's still mooing.
Well, this is the fledgling stage. So, but
they walk it by the kitchen when you see.
So Kenny, you got some selling to do. We need to get you in the door. Somebody's restaurant.
I'm ready to be turned loose, but we already talked about it. You run out of inventory, you've ruined the whole system. So it's very important that we stay ahead of the game. Oh. You know,
slow to go. Like you said, you can overcommit and grow too fast. It will destroy you just as much as. If you do not enough or no too slow.
I think will keep us in this game is our transparency that we're going to bring to it. We have a vision system already created where if you sell our Elwood Ranch beef, there'll be a QR code up there where you can actually scan and you will know your parents, the grandparents, where it's vaccinated, where they're from.
Wow.
You will know where your beef comes from when you get it from us.
Wow.
And most of us like that. There'll be some people that'll be too much for them. They'll be like, you know, knowing the family.
I can't eat it.
Don't use the code.
Yeah, right.
But if you truly want to know your food, this is the only way you're going to know.
That's the future, I think. For me, I know that it's not for everybody, right? They'd rather you'd eat simple meat or whatever it is that's all just a bunch of yuck smushed together. But the future for me is more of that, you know, knowing exactly who, where, what, and how that all happens, right? And you go, okay.
Well,
that looks like clean meat to me.
You know, there appears to be this pivot back to healthy eating, right? Make America healthy again, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. To try and get away from all the processed food.
RFK.
Right?
You need to go talk to him.
Yeah.
Boy, I'd sure like to have the heart, you know, the American Heart Association stamp on my beef if you're listening out there. But I'll be able to help with that with this, you know, with the DNA.
Yeah.
If you got the roadmap, you can build that way.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
But we always, you know, I would say for semi-recent history, shall we say, people, you know, the official food pyramid was like, stay away from red meat, stay away from
that's all changed
eggs,
again.
Right? Yeah. But that's all changing. You can feel it that it's changing, right?
Well, I mean,
I haven't seen that food triangle in social media.
I know, right?
But if you look, right, if you go back even 30, 40 years,
so you know, my food triangle is beef, butter, bacon, eggs. That's good.
It's
that's my triangle.
Nice.
That's good.
People, the way people ate, you know, and they worked hard, and they lived well. I mean, you know, it's this phenomenon of everybody dropping dead all the time from all of our food, that is pretty recent. It's not something that's long-lived, so to speak. I'm still curious a little bit about the goat because, you know, it's one of those things that I think many Americans, have a hard time wrapping their head around that, and as you had mentioned, and I knew that goat is the number one eaten meat in the world as a whole. Mm-hmm. And America has, for whatever reason, that's not something that's kind of in our wheelhouse. It is in certain communities. It is. But I have been noticing a change that goat on menus, especially in more higher-end restaurants, they're right. Serving goat, right? And I actually had something here locally. I had a deconstructed pot pie. And when I got it, I was kind of like, this isn't really what I wanted. I just saw pot pie, right? And I ordered it, and it was a winter item. And so I thought, oh, whatever, you know, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it, whatever. So I ate it, and it was one of the most delicious meals I've ever had. And when I was done, I said, I really want to tell the chef that I just was just incredible. And I referred to it as my beef pot pie, and they were like, no, that wasn't beef. And I said, what was that? And they said, it was goat. And I was like, I would have never ordered it had I known it was goat, except for the fact that it was one of the best meals I ever had. And I thought, well, God, what have I been missing, right?
Thank God you're still young.
I'm thinking,
so
wow.
You've made the switch?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not running out.
Is that why all those goats are in your backyard now?
Yeah. I'm not running out and buying goat, but, I mean, I can now appreciate that goat can be absolutely delicious. And I guess really that's the thing is, you just have to try it, right? Or have somebody give it to you and you don't know and then you realize what you're missing, right?
I see a farm store barbecue cook-off to put a beef, a goat, and a lamb chop and see if you can differentiate the three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, So we have goat, we have goats out at our ranch, but primarily our goats are for weed control. We turn them out when we need like things mowed down.
Well, now we know whenever the city of Reading has the those goats on the hill there.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. Well, that's going to be part of the reason we're going to go forward is, you know, fire mitigation is a big problem in Shasta County.
Sure.
You know, my wife and I, you know, we can't get into these thousands of goats. But if we can put him on these jobs, you know, and help the community,
sure,
and put a spot, you know, where we can harvest these goats later and do a good job.
Yeah. They're amazing for fire suppression.
Yeah.
They eat everything, especially poison oak.
Yeah.
They'll mow that stuff down.
My goats are kind of spoiled, but.
Oh, she's like, no.
I see her kind of roll your eyes a little bit.
My goats eat.
Let's,
poison oak now.
My goats eat strawberries.
Let's take our last break, and we'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51.
And we're back, last segment, Shasta Live. Good evening.
Yeah, we're back again. Where's James at? I haven't seen him.
Last show. He's out there catching the goat.
Goater.
He's chasing the goat.
He's a goater.
Yeah, you know, back
you just got my goat.
So welcome to the last show of the year. Guys, it's been fun.
It's been real fun.
It's been real fun.
Yeah. What are you eating, James?
Back in the kitchen, they have these wasabi cashews that are out of this world.
Okay. Thank you for that, James.
I can't keep my hands off of them.
Did Elon Musk bring them back?
Yeah. Yeah. We have Kenny and Megan Elwood. Again, I feel like we're just scratching the surface. We'll have to tell the story a little bit more in depth through the Shasta County Chamber.
We'll do a part two.
So your beef is available
here and everywhere.
The farm store.
The farm store in downtown Reading.
And she also does shipping.
Okay. Pretty soon, the general public will be able to purchase quarter, half, whatever that's going to look like, right?
Right.
Correct.
And you're trying to get more restaurants?
I have a wish list.
You have a wish list?
Talk to us.
Give us the top five.
Come on.
We got very influential people.
Spill the beans. The other five. Somebody's going to get mad. It's got to be a right fit. They got to buy into what I'm selling. You know, we're not just selling a piece of meat here. We plan on, I don't know. You guys are old enough to. You remember the old Marlboro Mile package?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do that with the Elwood Ranch. You know, when you buy a lot of meat, you're going to get bonus points. And with those bonus points, maybe you get
more
some
meat.
Merchandise, possibly more meat.
So you guys are going to have a bonus
point. You can come dove hunting at an Elwood Ranch or go fishing up there in Siskiyou County.
Maybe, fun.
A little gamification.
You know, we need to get agritourism. It's the only way, something that I've got.
There you go.
That you guys don't have, but you can enjoy it so we all can survive together.
So, if you're so into that, would you be willing to, and have you participated at all in the agritourism ordinance that's being built right now?
We're working on it now.
Within,
sounds like I'm building my own.
It does, and that's totally okay. But, I mean, it's I'm on the board, and it's been not without fraught. There's a lot involved, and it would be nice to have people like yourself right. that could help shape policy because, you know.
It's a lot.
They are making it.
Very difficult for the small independent.
But what you're saying is 100% what the Shasta County Chamber is behind and doing that. And my wife, actually, I'm very proud of her at her age. Not that she's old, but she's my age, right? And so she just recently
she's
went
been
back
here since 1875.
Yeah, she went back to school and got her. Master's degree in tourism and sustainability with a minor on agritourism. So she really believes that that's a very important thing. So as you obviously do and we do, I mean, we have been pushing for it's really wild that Shasta County, the size that we are and where we are, doesn't have any kind of agritourism ordinance
that's right.
in its coffers.
We see it as agritourism. Come on, let's be honest. It's ag education.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs to know where this comes from and how hard it is and how precious it is if you lose it.
Yeah. Well, I'm part of the, you know, when you say education, ag tourism, that's, I mean, a lot of times it is exactly that. It's people coming to a place where they can learn about, I mean, where their strawberries come from, where their goats come from, where their beef comes from. I mean, you hear and see right now all the time people go out and ask kids, you know, where does your food come from? And they always just say, the grocery store. They have no clue that there's actually something before that.
Well, there's a lot of tough questions you should be asking yourself. Look at all the foreign entities that own ag ground in the U.S.
Yep.
It's incredible. You know, look at the, you know, you got people down in Arizona just trying to get the water.
Well, the Chinese took it all.
Well, they're buying Mexico and South Africa, and I don't really want to get into this, but hey, I know some stuff.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, I've been reading a lot. Carrie Lake is talking about their, you know, all these companies that have been, or land, farms that have been in Arizona that have been purchased by the Chinese and by Saudi Arabia, and they're doing it because they want the groundwater.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many beef producers that do these big packing plants are American made, and how many are there, babe? Like four?
Yeah.
Left.
Mm-hmm. You mean, and the entire United States is only four?
Yeah.
And how many are foreign-owned?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, it's very consolidated. The food industry keeps eating itself to fewer and fewer owners.
Wow.
I mean, I think chicken is basically owned by four companies in the entire U.S.
Mike Tyson's one of them.
They own everything. As far as when it comes to poultry. And I find it weird, the laws in this country where it's like, you can feed chicken antibiotics and all those things, but you can't with turkey. Turkey has to be no antibiotics, no.
Well, how many chickens have you pardoned?
So it's weird to me why one bird, you'll say, is against the law to vaccinate and all this, but another one, you do.
And isn't it funny how bird flu shows up in cows,
yep.
but not in birds?
It's a mystery.
I know, it's a mystery, right?
It's a mystery.
Okay, where can people buy the goats?
So the goats, they would have to put in an order with us to get on our list because we're selling so many on a contract for a restaurant. We would have to plan ahead for other people that want
some
goat meat.
So the goats are flying off out the pen?
Yeah.
Do you ever sell goats if somebody just wants to buy a goat alive?
A live goat, yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
And then we sell 4-H and FFA.
How much is
products.
A goat?
How much is a goat?
So
that's three brides and one sister.
That's a good
this
dowry.
Time of year when we're selling project goats, they start at $6.50 and go up from there. But when we sell the goat meat, it's $13 a pound for the whole carcass.
Hmm.
See, they get you with the hooves. They're very heavy. No, I'm just joking.
I don't know. I saw some of the goats. They're big.
We try to go for a, like, 45-pound carcass for a restaurant.
You named the specific breed of goat.
The boar goats are...
I don't know what those are.
So they're a meat breed that was brought in from South Africa, and
okay.
that's a big reason why people like you are like, ew, goat, because you ate an old dairy goat that wasn't grain-fed back in the day. And now all the goats going into consumption are... grain-fed boar goats.
Okay, so they're delicious.
It's more like eating an Angus instead of a Holstein.
Oh, that was the question I was going to ask you. Yeah. Now, your beef, is it sold, is it, I mean, it makes no difference to me. I prefer my beef to be grain-fed, but there are a lot of people that want it only grass-fed. Do you?
Currently, we're doing all grain-fed because that's what we like to eat.
We've
talked about offering maybe, you know,
small portion of
4 or 5 head a year grass-fed for the people that want it, you know, when it's seasonally available, but
and
we definitely
I mean,
prefer
I know
grain.
They've done all the studies and science and all that stuff, but, like, a grass-fed beef to me makes me gag.
Yeah.
It tastes too wild for me. I'm so used to the other way around.
Right. And that's, I won't eat lamb and I like goat, and it's because of the gamey flavor.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to put mint jelly on it.
Yeah, don't ask, like that.
Ask the British folk over here. I don't like it either.
So what are the plans for 2025 for Elwood?
So 2025, we're going to move forward with the meat program. We're going to keep expanding our registered herd of Angus cattle and continue to try to be the best, or, you know, cement that we are the best and keep growing and take over.
Put your flag in it. The best.
Well, this community deserves the best.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, how much have we sent our products out of state or down south? And
true.
We don't really get paid what we deserve. Well, now, you know, our stuff used to go to Chicago, $250 a plate. Well, you can come down to the farm store and buy the same stuff for $29 a pound and, you know, and do it yourself. You know, that's what we deserve. We deserve our own products.
Have you guys ever thought about doing a farm dinner out there? Where you actually...
So we've talked about doing that when we finish our facility for our bull sales, that we'll have a kitchen and everything up there in Chestina.
Nice.
So we'd have a beautiful location looking at Mount Shasta and the pretty...
Let us know.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah. We'll promote it like heck, but I mean, I love farm to table dinners.
And once you scan our QR codes, you'll see our videos. We've got some promotional videos that'll be hitting the market here soon.
Very cool.
So that's really
cool. Good.
So cool. Well, we have 2 minutes and 49 seconds left. And see, I told you you would survive a whole hour. That went by fast.
That went by real fast.
So we always ask, you were supposed to.
Yes, so...
at the very end.
You know, food is very important. It's probably the most, you know, even tourism in general, where people come to visit, you know, believe it or not, that they plan their trips around food, right? And or even if they don't, when they get to where they're going and they have a really good meal, it makes a difference, right? So here locally, what are some of your favorite restaurants to go eat?
Wow, that is a putting you on.
Oh, on the spot.
He's like, the famous Elwood Ranch restaurant.
Well, obviously, we're going to say the first five. But no, shoot. You know, we like the old school. I like Nello's. And we went to Carline's, and that was amazing.
Very good. Those both are really good.
Choose to tie a house, depending on what you want.
Chompas.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
You know,
you
like Choose Two better than Choose at the airport?
Yeah. We just love him.
Oh, you just love him. Okay. Yeah, sometimes it is the people.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just, you know.
You click.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
You
know? Right.
You
walk
in, you're part family.
They know what you want.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean,
how about you, Megan?
I mean, we usually go out together. Those are kind of my go-tos. I always go to Chompas.
You don't
Nello's is
sneak
always
out and go to McDonald's once in a while?
No. In-N-Out Burger, if we're going to have fast food. Come on.
Which have locally sourced produce.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their potatoes are grown around the strawberries.
Yeah, around up there in Tule Lake and up around southern Oregon.
Oh. Yeah, and isn't Tule Lake also really known for its
horseradish?
Yeah. Right.
That's some good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, a nice steak with some horseradish and butter.
Next year, order yourself a prime rib. And
that's what
Tule
you need,
Lake.
Right? Yeah. You do a promo, right?
My friend in Hawaii has a seasoning, too, that we're going to start promoting for them.
Awesome.
So.
Seasoning?
Yeah.
Really?
Love it.
Well,
so I actually smell an Elwood store.
Yeah.
So anyway, Elwood. This one, we're coming up.
Store coming up.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Sheriff
County, Northern California, for this year.
Thank you.
Yeah,
definitely.
Great.
2025. Glad you guys were
well, able to make it.
This is just not us. There's some exciting times going on in this county. I think everybody should be excited, and I'm glad you guys are out letting people know what's going on.
Thank you. So, appreciate it. Here's to a happy new year, everyone.
See you next year.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.